Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father God, I just come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come once again, Lord God, repenting of every sin that I've committed knowingly or unknowingly. Was it my thoughts, my words, my hatiko sabananoso? Shekari and the whole shidia to hold the high. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless your name on today, Lord. We magnify your name, Lord. We exalt your name, for your name is above every name. You said at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. And so we just bless you in the name of Jesus on this afternoon, Lord God. We honor your very presence, oh God, in this service, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we don't take it for granted, Lord, because you did not have to give us a chance, Lord God, to come before you. So we are grateful, Father.
Yes.
We're so grateful. We're grateful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you right now. Hallelujah. We thank you right now, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. For you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. Now, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over this service, Lord God. I plead the blood of Jesus over this atmosphere, over these airways, Lord God. And Father God, hey, mama. Lord, I pray right now that Father, you will give us a rhema word on today, Lord God.
Yes.
Father, a word that's tailored for each and every last one of us, Father, in the name of Jesus. For you know what we stand in need of even before we ask, Lord. So we ask you to bless this word on today, bless this service on today, Lord God. Cause those that's not only this that's going to listen to it now, but those that's going to listen to it in the future, Lord God, to receive something from you, Lord God,
yes.
In the mighty name of Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord God. Ooh, we thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless the name of God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to get to the word, but I just can't stop thanking him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We just bless you for setting the captives free today,
yes,
Lord God.
Lord. Hallelujah. In the
name of those who are bound, oh God, being set free, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, you know the things that's got your people in a grip, Lord God. So we ask you in the name of Jesus to set your people free, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 1. I'm going to go to James chapter 1. Thank you. I'm going to start at verse 5 in chapter 1 of James. And it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask the God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that waveth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. I'm going to stop right there. And I'm going to go over, I'm going to look at this in the basic English. It says, but if any man among you is without wisdom, let him make his request to God, who gives freely to all without an unkind word, and will be given to him. And it will be given to him. Let me do it again. Ha seki anedabo shanyo koto. Ooh, glory to God. Let me do it again. But if any man among you is without wisdom, let him make his request to God, who gives freely to all without an unkind word, and it will be given to him. Let him hanani on the siki anedabo shondo. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Lord God, we just surrender. I surrender right now, Lord. Let me not speak what I want to speak, Father, but let me speak only what your Spirit give me utterance to speak, Lord God. Lord God, we need a word from you, Lord God. And so, Father, we attend and we wait and listen to what you have to say, Father. For you said, Lord God, for you said in your word that men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of your mouth, Lord. So, Lord, we come in the name of Jesus, Lord God, asking for the word that proceeds out of your mouth, Lord God, that we may live, oh God, that we may thrive in the Holy Ghost, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now send the fire of the Holy Ghost, oh God. Hallelujah, like you did on the day of Pentecost, oh God. Father, we pray right now for the fullness of God, Lord, to come into being in your people, Lord God. Father God, shaking your people, Lord God. Shake the very foundations of our souls, oh God. Lord God, until we can see only heaven, and God, and heaven is only our gaze, oh God. But Lord God, you told us in your word to look unto the heels, what cometh our help, for our help cometh from the Lord. So Lord, we know that, Lord God, you are our help, oh God. We know that the joy of the Lord is our strength, oh God. We know that everything we need is wrapped up and tied up in you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, I pray right now that you will align us with your will, Lord God. Father, we just praise you right now in the name of Jesus. Everything that's outside of your will, every thought outside of your will, God, we ask even now, Lord God, that those things will be destroyed, oh God, that you will send the Father, the Holy Ghost, to destroy those things, that we will align only with the will of the Father, that we may be aligned with heaven. So we praise you in advance for it, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 6, it says, let him make his request in faith, doubting nothing. For he who has doubt in his heart is like the waves of the sea, which are troubled by the driving of the wind. Let it not seem to such a man that he will get anything from the Lord, for there is a division in his mind, and he is uncertain in all his ways. But let the brother of low position be glad that he is lifted up. But let the man of wealth that he is made low, because like the flower of the grass, he will come to his end. But when the sun comes up with its burning heat, the grass gets dry, and the grass of his form, and the grace of his form is gone with the falling flower. So the man of wealth comes to nothing in his ways. There is a blessing on the man who undergoes testing, because if he has God's approval, he will be given the crown of life, which the Lord has said he will give to those who have love for him. Let no man say when he is tested, I am tested by God. For it is not possible for God to be tested by evil, and he himself puts no man to such a test. But every man is tested when he is turned out of the right way by the attraction of his desire. Then when its time comes, desires give birth to sin. And sin, when it is a full growth, gives birth to death. Do not be turned from the right way, dear brothers. Every good and true thing is given to us from heaven, coming from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change or any shadow made by turning. Of his purpose he gave us being by his true word, so that we might be, in a sense, the first fruits of all the things which he had made. You have knowledge of this, dear brothers, but let every man be quick in hearing. Be quick in hearing, slow in words, slow to get angry. For the righteousness of God does not come about by the wrath of man. Hallelujah. I have went farther than what I supposed to be. But you know, the Holy Spirit said, go ahead, because he want me to go back into the other way and do it. Okay. For this reason, putting away all dirty clothes, dirty behavior, I'm sorry. For this reason, putting away all dirty behavior and the overweight of evil, take into your souls without pride the word which, being planted there, is able to give you salvation. But be ye doers of the word and not only hearers of it, blinding yourselves with false ideals. Because if a man is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his natural face in a glass. But after looking at himself, he goes away, and in a short time, he has no memory of what he is like. Now, if I go back to the King James and pick up where I left off, I'm going to start at 19. It says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholding himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And if you look at verse 25 of the basic English, because I didn't do it, verse 25 in the basic English, but he who goes on looking into the true law, which makes him free, being not a hearer without memory, but a doer putting it into effect, this man will have a blessing on his acts. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to be real honest with you on today. This is not what I thought I was going to be. I didn't know what I was going to be preaching, first of all. Before we started service, I was still crying out to God. I was like, Lord, give me a word, because I was like, I'm not going to get up here and just preach no insane. And so, in the graciousness of our Father, he gave us a word, and this word is in James, you know, chapter 1. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. The focus that I was going to be on in this, in James, as the Lord, Holy Spirit, having to keep reading, I realized why he was saying that it was my focus, because he wanted me to get to the verses that was beneath it, where he says, oh, Lord, let me go back up. In verse 16, he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. And in the basic English, it says, do not be turned from the right way, dear brother. So if I was going to give a name of this word, it would tell you not to turn from the right way. In other words, do not err. Because it's easy to err. It's easy to be turned from the right way. And if you go down in the verses that's beneath these verses, it gives you the reason why it's easy. Why? Because we're supposed to have a fresh fire in us for the things of God. We're supposed to be always ready to receive the fresh things of God. But the problem is there's a lot of people that's not what they is. A lot of people want to use God like a genie in a box. And he's like, this is not what I, he said, that's not what I am. And so when we sit back and look at this, hallelujah, for he is the creator of your soul. He's the creator of your body. He's the very creator of your spirit. Ilando, Rashibe Kerianda Sul Kandahare. And you were, and you know, and last week God was letting us know he made us for his pleasure, not for ours. So when we sit back and we look at this thing and we look at it from what the scripture said, he said, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay upon all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And this is the problem. A lot of us, we hear the word of God, but we don't do the word of God. You can't just be somebody that sit up and listen to the word, or be somebody that just sit up and read the word. You got to do the word. And so when you do the word, the word begins to transform you. The word begins to make you into something that God really created you to be. And so, you know, we're not talking about doing the word like in the sense of a religious spirit. We're talking about doing the word in the love of God. And by the leading of the Holy Ghost. And so when you're being led by the Holy Spirit, and a lot of people are being deceived in this hour because they're being led by something other than the Holy Spirit. Some people are being led by evil spirit. Some people are being led by their own desires, their own flesh. Matter of fact, if you look up here where we started at, in verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endured temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with either, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now let's go over to the basic English. There is a blessing on the man who undergoes testing, because if he has God's approval, he will be given the crown of life, which the Lord has said he would give to those who have love for him. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tested, I am tested by God, for it is not possible for God to be tested by evil, and he himself puts no man to such a test. But every man is tested when he is turned, but every man is tested when he is turned out of the right way by the attraction of his desire. You got to be concerned about what you desire. What if what you desire is not the desire of God, you got to put that thing under the fire of the Holy Ghost. You got a lot of Holy Spirit to distinguish, to extinguish that thing straight out of your life. It's got to be obliterated. And so when you look at this thing and he says, then when his time comes, but every man is tested when he, in verse 14, but every man is tested when he is turned out of the right way by the attraction of his desire. Then when its time comes, desire gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is a full growth, gives birth to death. Do not be turned from the right way, dear brothers. See, you got to understand this whole thing about crucifying our flesh.
When you want to be, when God created us to, he created us to bring forth his light in the earth. Okay? He want people to, he want to see himself illuminated in the earth through what he has created. And so when God is doing that, he wants us to be on fire for him. And that's why he tells us, you know, to not to be lukewarm. We either going to be on blaze for fire for God or we're going to be cold. He was like, but don't be lukewarm. He said, because if you're lukewarm, he's going to do what? Spew you out of his mouth. So you got to understand something. God is saying that, he said, I'm giving you the reason why that a lot of people err. It's because of our own desires. See, if you don't constantly go before God in prayer and you don't constantly put that thing on the altar, and you don't constantly seek God's faith of whether about that is of him, if it's of your flesh, or if it's of the devil, you are going to find yourself in a place that you do not want to be. And that's outside of the will of God, which is outside of his provision. Let me tell you something. When you line up with the will of God, God, there is a grace and there is a blessing in the will of God. But anything outside of that, there's no, there's, you don't. You don't flow. That's why people be looking at God like the genie in the bottle. You want to wish upon something. You don't have to wish upon nothing when you are in the will of God. When you walk in the will of God, God gives provision. He gives vision. That's why the Bible lets us know that where there's no vision, the people perish. Because in the vision is provision. And so you got to understand that God created you for his glory. He created you for his praise. He created you to be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus. And so he's saying that you need to make sure, my dear beloved brethren, that you do not err. That you don't be turned from the right way. Why? Because many are being turned from the right way. And that's why he tells us early up in this chapter that we need to ask for wisdom. Because wisdom is something that you need from God. We're not talking about earthly wisdom. There is an earthly wisdom. There's a sensual wisdom. The scripture says there's a sensual wisdom. And that wisdom is the wisdom of the flesh. It's of the world. Well, we want the wisdom of God. Matter of fact, the scriptures tell us, he said that the fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. And so you got, it's a fear of the Lord. When you, if you fear the Lord, not that you scare him, but you reverence him. If you really reverence the Lord said, acknowledge me in all your ways. And he said, acknowledge him in all your ways and he shall direct your path. God wants to be in every area of our life. And the things that we do, God, you do things. If you're not doing things to bring glory to God's name, then what you're doing is of sin. You do realize that, don't you? You know, so God wants us to bring glory to his name. That's why the Bible says anything outside of faith is what? Sin. That's what the scriptures say. So, you know, you gotta have faith. You gotta allow faith to be built up in you. Why? How do we have faith built up in you? He's like, you know, by hearing the word. And then in this scripture right here, when we get in this scripture, because when the faith comes, you know, by hearing and hearing the word of God. But in this scripture, it tells us, don't just be a hearer. Everything that you hear to build your faith, he said, be a doer of it. You don't have to put your hands to things that's not of God. You don't have to do unnecessary things when you are walking with God. That's why he said, walk with me. When you look at the scriptures, throughout the scriptures, he told different individuals, walk with him. God want us to walk with him. He want us to talk with him. God wants you to be so concerned about what he's concerned about. Well, how do I know I'm in sin when I'm not concerned about what he's concerned about? When I get caught up in what I want to do, how I want to do it. And as human beings, that's real easy to do. It's not hard to get off track. It's really not. I'm just going to keep it real with you. It's not hard. And so you have to press into this thing. There's a warfare to press in to the will of God, to press in to his presence. And so where the presence of the God is, there is the fullness of God. And where the fullness of God, everything you need is wrapped up and tied up in. God is not going to say, walk with me and talk with me, be with me, and I just leave you in. He's not that kind of God. I want to read a couple of scriptures to you. Hold on. Give me 1 second, because y'all, I'm in the spirit. So time I get in the spirit, it'd be hard for me to, Okay, just bear with me, because I'm just going to take me a minute. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you honor. Give me a second, because I got to move some stuff. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? Lord have mercy. I'm sorry, y'all. I went to the wrong thing. I was gonna read the wrong thing. Matthew, go to Matthew. I'm looking at chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, and it said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Okay, so you got to understand, if he's telling us to take heed, then no man would deceive us. Let's just look at that right quick in the parallel part of it in a basic. Y'all, I might be an extra 10 minutes on today, because I got to try to move around to get what I need to get. And it says, and Jesus said to them in answer, take care that you are not tricked. 24 verse 4. So in the King James, it says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And then in the basic English, it tells you, and Jesus said to them in answer, take care that you are not tricked. Why is that? Because Satan can trick you. Man can trick you. You can trick your own self. And so because of this, we have to take care. And so let's look at. Give me 1 second. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And so looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I'm going to drop down to verse 9. And it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now let's go to that in the basic English. It says, have you not knowledge that evildoers will have no part in the kingdom of God? Have no false ideas about this. And this is, y'all, why is he saying this? Okay, so if this was going on back then, of course it's going on today, and it's going on in great measure on today. It says, have you not knowledge that evildoers will have no part in the kingdom of God? Have no false ideas about this. No one who goes after the desires of the flesh or gives worship to images or is untrue when married or is less than a man or makes a wrong use of men, or is a thief, or the worst of drink, or makes use of strange language, or takes by force what is not his, will have any part in the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you have been washed, you have been made holy, and you have been given righteousness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Spirit of our God. God want me to do this in one more other translation. Hold on. I'm going to do it in Young's literal translation. Have you not known that the unrighteous, the reign of God, shall not inherit? But be not led astray. Be not led astray. Neither whoremongers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, the reign of God shall inherit. Now I'm going to give you one more thing, because the Holy Ghost is telling me to take verse 9. And he wants me to take you to the Greek on it. Give it to me. Give me 1 second. Jesus. What is this? There's verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 6. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Glory to God. Let me see what they got in this translation. Okay, verse 9 in the New International Version, it says, "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." God wants us to be washed. He wants us to be renewed. He wants us to be transformed, that we will look like him. And God don't look no any kind of way. And see, one of the things that happened in history, this is another thing people don't realize, Satan is still doing stuff to deceive people. Over the years, you've had different people to try to take away from the word of God or try to add to the word of God to confuse people and set people apart. But let me tell you something. When you get saved and you get baptized with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit reveals the truth, because he reveals Jesus, and Jesus is the truth. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Man, when you look at, my bachelor's was in theater arts. And I've always asked God, why did you have me to major in it? You know, I write plays. Don't get me wrong. I've written plays. I've directed plays. But the thing was, it was more of the education that he wanted me to get that was with it, that was behind it. Because people think all you do when you major in theater arts is just act. No, that's not all you do. And it depends on what college you go to, what university you go to, that makes a big difference. Because I started out at Texas Tech University, and their curriculum was, oh my God, it was so... after you learned a whole lot of different things. And then I ended up graduating from UTD. And Texas Tech, theirs was, you know, the arts and science. So I had a lot of science classes with them. At UTD, it was the arts and humanities. So I did a lot of humanities classes with them. So, but the thing was, when I got into UTD with the humanity classes in my upper years, where I'm getting ready to graduate, I took a class And it was a class about the Renaissance art. And when you come inside of my church, you'll find that there's a lot of things that's not inside of my church that you see in us inside of other churches. And it's because I went my bachelor's in theater art. And I was baptized in the Holy Ghost while I was in school. God used those things to show me stuff that had been infiltrated into the church. I was at a secular university. You understand what I'm saying? A secular university, not a Christian university. I was at a secular university. They don't even realize that they were showing the truth about stuff that had been, that had been indoctrinated. I remember sitting in class with my Bible because my arts teacher was putting certain things up. And if you follow anything about the Renaissance art, there are certain artists that you're going to find that they use more so in those classes. So one of the art things they put up was a scene in the Bible. And it was that when Lazarus was raised from the dead. And they had Mary of Magdalene in the portrait. And every time they painted her, they always had her, I think, like in red. And one of the lies that's been preached constantly about Mary Magdalene is that she was a whore, But that's not what the scriptures tell us in the Bible. It tells us that she had seven demons cast out of her. And so, what they did, this was the lie that was told. Anybody that know the scriptures, because I know a lot of people on this line do not read their Bible. But if you read your Bible, you would know that Mary Magdalene was not the person at Lazarus' tomb. It was Lazarus' sister, Mary of Bethany, and her sister Martha. So it was Martha and Mary of Bethany and Jesus at the tomb, and Mary of Bethany was, and Martha was crying for their brother. It wasn't no god dog on Mary Magdalene. And so so when they got to the end and they put it up and she was telling Mary, I said, wait a minute, hold up. I said, Mary Magdalene was not who that is right there. I said, that's a lie. And she was like, well, no, y'all, I had my Bible with me, okay? I pulled out my Bible and went to the scripture. And that lady was looking like, whoa, you know what you write? And she was like, she said, but you know what? We got to go by what they say. She said, this is what they put there. Well, you got to understand something. This is the reason why you had Martin Luther do the Reformation. I know it sounds like we're in a history class right now. But Martin Luther, that's why he did the 100 theses, and he and that's why the Protestants are called Protestants, because they were protesting against what the Catholic Church was doing. All this stuff that I'm talking about with these artists and all this stuff, that stuff was with the Catholic Church. And so we call it Catholicism. And so they had these things. So you're teaching a lie. You're teaching a lie that this woman right here is this woman, and it really wasn't. And when you go throughout the scriptures, and when I was in her classes, it gave a lot of different instances where they were putting Mary Magdalene in places that she was not supposed to be, that the scriptures didn't say that she was. And so, there was a lot of lying going on, and that's where you get that mess where, what's that man name that did that thing, that lie? He's a painter too, right? He's an artist too. The one that did the lie, and they did the movie that came out. Da Vinci. The Da Vinci Code. Oh my God. That is a lie from the pits of hell. And so you got to understand, I learned all this stuff in a secular university. I didn't learn this stuff in no Christian university. And so, and they was not trying to teach you about God in no respectful person at all. And so, and so these things, these lies, and so they in Da Vinci, his nasty deceit, his nasty filthy behind, gave an image of our Christ like he was effeminate. Jesus, it was nothing effeminate about Jesus. Nothing. And what people don't realize is that Jesus was a strong man too. When you sit back and consider what he was, he was a carpenter. How many carpenters have you ran across that even a little short, little bit of ones I've seen are muscular? Yep. Because they are doing things where they're hitting Da Vinci. That's not the way he always showed Jesus, this frail white man. I mean, man, you are alive from the pits of hell. I'm like, you're not for the lie on my Jesus. And then you ain't for to make me think the God that created all mankind is going to make his son come and look like some little frilly wimp. I'm like, I don't think so. All right, come again. So why am I saying all this? Because I know people are like, well, what is she getting on a tangent with all this stuff? It's a lot of lies that come into the scriptures. It's a lot of deception is there. And if you don't go back and you don't find out different things, and then you have to be careful of what you're channeling yourself through. That's the reason why it's important to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lets you know straight up. Man, I'm telling you, there is times that I've had people to come to me with something written down or something and love me like, that is a lie. And he had me tell you, just point blank, I don't know, you lying. And then when I'm able to go back and prove it and find out with proof that it's a lie, you got to understand something. God will not leave you ignorant. He's not going to leave you to be deceived, only if you want to be deceived. And the way that we are deceived is when we are enticed by our own desires. What is it that you desire? What is it that you desire more than God? You know, some people desire money. Some people desire sex. Some people desire, some people are in love with food. Some people desire alcohol, drugs, whatever it is. So then my question is, what you're desiring, how do it glorify God? See, this is the question you need to ask yourself. And he said this topic was don't deceive, don't be in deception, or don't be in error, right? Do not err. So he's like, ask yourself the question, what I'm doing, what I'm desiring, do it bring glory and honor to God? Not glory and honor to yourself, but glory and honor to God. Because anybody who's ever been filled with the Holy Ghost have enough sense to know that when God do something through them, that is not them, it's God. And people are coming to me and say stuff to me, I don't know, but I don't know, that ain't me, that's God. I'm like, don't get it twisted. I'm like, because you know without a shadow of a doubt, when you tasted of his heavenly kingdom. I'm trying to get to everything, but this is like a pause for a station identification break. You know, God be wanting to bring us, you know, he said, the Lord said, come, let me reason with you. Yeah. Though your sins, you know, be a certain kind of way, he said, he want to wash us, right? So you got to understand something. God is reasoning with his people. He like, come to some knowledge of some truth. He like, I want you to be like me, but you are not me. You understand the difference?
Yeah.
I want you to emanate me on the earth, but you are not me.
That's all
I'm. You can't show people me and you got other stuff that you're doing. You can't sit down at the table of demons and eat at my table at the same time. He like that. It don't work like that. He said, because I don't permit adultery and I am married to the backslider. He like, I'm not going to be married to no witch or no warlock, no demons that you partaking with over here and think you belong to me. He's like, I don't think so. He like, don't be deceived. And so what he said, but ye do injustice and ye defraud these brethren. Have you not known that the unrighteous, the reign of God shall not inherit? Be not led astray, neither whoremongers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkenness, nor revilers, nor extortioners, the reign of God shall inherit. And certain of you were these, but ye were washed, but ye were sanctified, but ye were declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of God. God has washed these people. When we put our stuff in the hands of God, He washes us. There's this woman, you know, and she irritates my entire being. I'm not lying to you. When she talks, she's always talking about how pretty she is. And she goes off and does all this stuff. And I just be just like, do you not know that you're not bringing no glory and honor to God? And it's called vanity. And how vanity is the spirit that Satan operated in, which caused his fall. And so the Lord is like this right here. He said, I want you to give me glory. He said, I want you to give me honor. He said, I want your vessels to be honor unto me. What is your vessels? Your body. That's what he tells us, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. But this is our reasonable service. He said, our reasonable service. And so, you know, we have to sit back and say, what is it that I desire? And, you know, don't get it twisted. It's people out here right now. You desire to be a multimillionaire. You desire to be rich. You desire to be more wealthier than anybody you know. You want to have more money than anybody you know. You want to have the best of cars, the best of this and all this other kind of stuff. That's what you want. That's what your desire is. But God said, I'm desiring something way deeper. He said, that's shallow.
Ooh,
and he like, the things that I'm desiring is way deeper. And the very things that we're talking about that we're desiring, if we don't put that stuff to the test and let the Holy Ghost burn that stuff away, we're going to find ourselves in the fire. The real fire. And so he said, don't be deceived, don't be arrogant. He said, I want you to be like me. He said, I'm drawing you by my spirit to myself. Because I want to be glorified through you. You having money and cars do not glorify God. And I'm going to tell you where you get that from. This is the stuff that's put out there right now, that prosperity gospel. Look, I don't have nothing against you prospering. Trust me, I don't. Because the Bible says, he wished of all is our soul prosper and be in good health, that we will prosper and be in good health. Hey, Abraham was a wealthy man. No matter how much you slice it and dice it. Job was a wealthy man. No matter how you slice it, I can go through our description, name a lot of them that was wealth. And so, but the thing is, they didn't put that stuff before God. That stuff was like an add-on because of what they was with God. Abraham was a friend of God. God called him his friend. It's no way in the world that you can become a friend of God and God say, well, I'm going to let you just sit here and suffer without having what you need to pay your bills and do all this other kind of stuff. He's not that kind of God. And see, even that theory comes from Catholicism. Because in Catholicism, they had some priests, some monks. And it was this particular monk, I forgot his name. He started that whole thing about being poor, giving up everything and being poor in order to they reach a certain place spiritually. That stuff is not a gospel prerequisite. Now, Jesus talked to a man one time that was asking him what he needed to do to come into the kingdom. And so, you know, Jesus asked him a whole bunch of different questions, but Jesus could see in his soul and he saw what was wrong with him. He told him, he said, okay, sell all you have and follow me. He knew that that man loved his money and his things more than he loved him. And that's the point. How do you know that, Tamara? Well, let's say it like this. You can look at people's tithes and offerings. That's the reason why when Jesus was talking to his disciples, when a woman with the mite put her mite in her hand, he said she done gave more than everybody else, because he was saying that percentage-wise of her livelihood, she gave way more. Why? Because those who could give more didn't give more. They gave the lower amount. But I love God. Okay. So, you know, the Spirit of God is calling us into a place to walk with him in the Spirit that we've never walked before. And he said, in order to get there, we got to make sure that we are not being deceived. That we're not deceiving ourselves. We're not being deceived by nobody else. And we're not being deceived by Satan. It's a lot more to this, and I kind of feel like it's a part two. And I kind of feel like he wanted to stop at this page because it's a lot more to that. that I can get into if the Lord would allow me. Look, I am kind of seeking the Lord about if I'm gonna be putting like some studies on the website, like how we used to do Bible studies when we was in the building. I might be doing that. If I do start back doing Bible studies online, I will I'll reach out to you all. We will send the information out like how we send out on Sundays. So, you know, we're just gonna see what the Spirit of God say. Because I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm crying out for the people of God. Because this hour is dark. And there needs to be the light of God flowing through the people of God. We need the real light to shine. And I just know that I couldn't get to everything that is in this that he want me to get to. So if he allow me to do a part two, I don't know if it's going to be on a Sunday or if he just have me to come online and just put it online. You know, he might have me to do it like that. Because there's so much to it. I haven't even reached to me the meat of it yet. There is a crying. God is a crying. There's an outpouring in the spirit. God is literally calling in the spirit for his people. He's calling his people to come out from amongst and be separate, saith the Lord. He's like, I want to separate you from everything. Just like I told Abram, who later became Abraham, to depart from his family, to go to a foreign land. Sometimes you got to just depart in order for you to get to where you need to get to in God. Anytime God was getting ready to reveal something or reveal or bring a person closer to him, he always separates them. When Jesus even separated his disciples off in distant places when he was ready to really impart into them. Anytime there's an imparting of God, you have to be separated because of the distraction. People will distract you. You know, me as a pastor, a lot of times I have to get on people around me because there could be something going on and take me straight out of where I am in the spirit. And I get tired of arguing back and forth with people about it. And that's another reason why. Let me tell you one of the things I've learned over the years, and it's something that I said I'll never do again. I don't want people around me. Because I learned something from that. God took me back and he let me know. He said, remember when I had you off to your side, to yourself? He said, what would you do? I was like, well, yay, Lord, I sure would. He said, now remember when you started letting church folks into your private space, what happened? I said, yeah, you sure right, Lord. He like, learn from it. And so these are the things that God wants to reveal to his people. And he's like, he said, you know, he's like, I want you to come unto me. He said, I really want you to come unto me. He said, I want you to come into my presence. And so we just thank God for everything that he's done and everything he's given to do in his people's lives. He's going to set you apart. God wants you to be a light. You got to sit back and look at what am I reflecting about God? What am I showing about God? How am I bringing glory and honor to God by the things that I do? The things I talk about. The things I think about. See, because God don't only look on what we do outward, but he also looks on the inward, on our heart. How am I bringing glory to honor God in the things I'm thinking? And so, you know, these are the things that we should look at when we are serving the Lord. And God said, I want to bless you. He said, I want to bring you to your expected end. He said, I want to bring you out of where you've been doing. He said, you've been scruffing and scraping pennies. You've been doing all kinds of stuff because you are not in my will. I have a will for your life. He said, you're not in it because of you're not desiring to be in my will. He's like, because when you desire to be in my will, he's like, you shut down everything. And you seek me till I come and rain righteousness upon you. He said, and I promise you, I pardon iniquity. He said, I'm a forgiver of sin. There's nothing that you could have done in your life that God is not able to forgive you except for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. He's like, I forgive, I pardon. He said, because I want you to come into a place that you've never known before in the spirit. And let me tell you something. When you come into the place of the God that you've never known God's spirit, then the provision and the wealth of his spirit, because his spirit, you got to be spiritually wealthy first. Hallelujah. See, Abraham was spiritually wealthy first. Then he became wealthy physically. That's why he said, I wish of all that you, your soul would prosper and be in good health, and as you would prosper and be in good health. Because when your soul prosper, which means you're delivered now, when you get your deliverance, God's like, I got no problem with giving you anything. That's according to my will. God bless you. Father, we just thank you for your people, Father. We thank you for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. We just honor your very presence today, Lord. We honor you for being God all by yourself. Lord, we just love you. Lord, we just love being around you. Lord, we just love just communion with you. God, you are so good. You're so good. You're better than anything on this earth. There's nothing on this earth that can light a candle to you. And so we just bless you because of that, Father. We thank you for creating us because you didn't have to. We thank you for breathing the breath of life into us because you didn't have to. We thank you for sustaining us because you didn't have to. We thank you for being gracious unto us and causing your face to shine upon us, Lord. And we just bless your name, Lord. We honor you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, because this year I'm Apostle George, because I forgot to say it at the beginning. At this time, I'm going to allow Prophetess Junior to come up. And I don't know if God gave her something as I was going forth. If he didn't give her anything, then she's going to give the announcement. And when she gets through with the announcements, I'm going to come back and I'm going to pray for people. I'm going to pray for your tithes and offerings. I'm going to pray for seeds. I'm just going to pray how the Spirit of God tells me to pray. Whatever he tells me to pray for, I'm going to pray for when she gets through. Good evening, everyone. Visitors on the line as well as members. Visitors to give an offering and members paying your tithes and your offerings, you would go to, and if you are not paying your tithes, members, still you know to give an offering. Go to www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. That's www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. Click on the send a donation button to be able to do that. Also, this is Seed Sunday. Members, you know how to do that. If you're a visitor on the line and you'd like to give Pastor a love offering, I'm asking that you would text her. The number is 214-507-3626. Again, the number is 214-507-3626. And she'll forward the information for you to be able to do that. Also, members, continuing to pay on Pastor Appreciation, continue to do so. You know that as the new year comes in, you'll start on the new year for Pastor Appreciation. And I thank you all.
All right, this is Apostle George, and I'm back. I'm getting ready to pray.
Go ahead now and go ahead, members, and do your tithes and your offerings, because she's getting ready to pray over the tithes and offerings. I'm sorry, this is Apostle, not Apostle, not me. This prophet is Junior. And now I'm going to give it back over to Apostle George. I'm sorry about that, you all.
Okay, I'm getting ready to pray over your tithes and offerings. I'm just going to pray a prayer that the Spirit of God leads. Father, we just come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come once again repenting of every sin that I've committed knowingly or unknowingly, what's in my thoughts, my words, my actions, or my deeds. I'm asking you, Father, to forgive me. Create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit. Take me out of flesh and allow your Holy Spirit to rise up in me. Now, Father, I thank you for your anointing that destroys the yokes and that removes the burdens.
Yes, Lord.
And I'm asking you, Lord, to remove the burdens off of your people on today, Lord God. Father, I'm asking that you will watch over your word in your people's life, Lord God. And that, Father, you will hasten to perform your word in your people's life, Lord. We just thank you right now, Lord God. We thank you for the anointing, Lord God. We thank you for the anointing flowing over your people right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just plead the blood of Jesus over your people right now, from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, Father. From the soles of their feet to the crown of their head, let them come in oneness with you, Lord God. Come in oneness with your will, Father. Now, Father, as I lift up your people's tithes and offerings, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you rebuke the devourer for their sakes, that you will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that they will not have room enough to receive, Father. Let it be pressed down, shaken together, run it over their men, give back in their wisdom. Father, what the enemy has tried to block what belongs to them, Lord God, we curse the assignment, Lord God. We rebuke the enemy in the north, the south, the east, and the west. We command him to give up what belongs to the people in the north, the south, the east, and the west, Lord God. Father, we pray right now that you will begin to open up doors for your people, Lord God. I'm asking for, Lord God, financial doors to open up your people. People who are faithful tithe payers, oh God, in the name of Jesus, because they was obedient to what you told them to do, Lord God, and because they was obedient, you said if we be willing and obedient, we will eat the good of the land. God calls them to eat the good of the land, Lord God, and we thank you for rebuking and devouring everything that's tried to steal and rob from them doing it. Then, Father, extend your mercy and your grace, oh God, for those who are not wise concerning their finances, oh God, that they're not good stewards over what you've given them, Lord God. They have not done it the right way because they did not acknowledge you, Lord God, and the things that they was doing, Lord God. Father, I'm asking you that you begin to move by your spirit even now upon them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And so we just thank you, God. I pray for, Lord God, I pray for bonuses for people in this hour, in this season, Lord God. I pray that, Father God, that it will come from places they didn't expect, Lord God. See, for natural, even how you did it for me when I used to work on a job, Lord God. Lord, do it for them, Lord God. Lord, get to Roboko Shady on the hole. Lord, we pray right now, Lord God, for increases in their pay, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We pray for the spirit of increase, that the companies that they work for will financially be blessed because they're there and because they are the children of the Most High. They are the salt of the earth, oh God. They are preservatives for those companies that they work for, God. And so we pray right now because they are there to preserve those companies, oh God, and that the exponential growth of the company, Lord God, will be so quick, oh God, it will be so much overflowing, God, that they can't help but to give it to the people, God, so that your people that work for them, Lord God, will receive because they are there, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We just praise your name. And then for those, oh God, who are entrepreneurs, those who are working on their own, Lord God, we pray for finances to begin to flow in, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We rebuke the spirit of drought and barrenness, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. We pray for a flow and overflow, God, in the name of Jesus. They can begin to hire people, Lord God, that more jobs will be created because they have stood up and did and walked in the will of God and did what you told them to do, God. Oh, God, we'll seek you under the bullshit. That they didn't want to go in this thing, Lord God, for themselves, but they were going in and looking on your behalf, Lord God, to bless somebody else, oh God, in the name of Jesus, God. And for those, oh God, who look to bless the church, oh God, those who look into bless the servant of the Most High God, bless them because of it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Provide for them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bless them in the city and in the field and every place they feet tread. Oh God, I'm asking, let the blessings of the Lord overtake them on this week, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless the marriages, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, bless those who are looking to be married, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bless the people's health, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bless their bodies, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Give them strength, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every assignment of the enemy against their body, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I rebuke all diseases, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I command for it to loose them in the name of Jesus, that the blood of Jesus Christ will begin to flow through them, oh God. And Father, send the fire of the Holy Ghost their way, God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you right now, Lord God, that you will look over your word and their life, oh God, in the name of Jesus, and that you will cause your word to come to pass in the name of Jesus. Oh, glory to your name, Lord. We honor your name in this place, oh God. We magnify your name. We exalt your name. Hallelujah. We thank you for the blessing of the Lord. For the blessing of the Lord is rich and it adds no sorrow, Lord. Lord, we thank you for those who have given it to me, Lord God. For you said, whatever given the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, Lord God.
And Lord God, I pray for crazy favor over their life. Oh God, favor that don't make no sense. Where there was a no, let there be a yes, oh God. Oh God, I'm asking you to preserve them, oh God, for being a blessing to me, Lord God, that I might be deserving to preserve them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Even if you got the cause, the blessing to knock on the door, God. Do whatever you gotta do, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, we just honor your presence, oh God. We honor you, Lord God. We magnify your name, Lord God. Do a new thing in their life on this week and cause it to spring forth, oh God. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We just thank God for everybody that came on today. We pray that the Spirit of the Living God will bless you on this week. We pray that his face will shine upon you and that all things will be well with you and your family. So glory, glorify God for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We speak blessings, oh God, in the name of Jesus over them, God. We speak deliverance, oh God. We speak healing, oh God, in Jesus' name. God, bring them out, Lord God, with a shout, Lord, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Renew their spirit. Renew their souls, oh God, in Jesus' name. I love you. God bless you. I'm in the call.